Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Podcast mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We're on the episode of Hypecast.
It's the show
where we get hype about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
And I'm Hannah Michaels. Was I supposed to jump in here? I don't know, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You did correct.
It's impossible
How
to do
you?
It wrong.
Yeah, nice. There's no wrong answers.
There's no wrong way to do that.
We leave our guests to twist in the wind, so it's kind of like, you know, it's like Battle Royale rules where it's like, we've abandoned you. You should do whatever you want.
But also you have a secret favorite child for some reason. Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it.
The guests are all our children. Yes. Hannah, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well, better than I was this morning when we talked in the same house, and we still are in the same house.
This is true.
Yeah.
Good. Were you perhaps a little hungover this morning?
No, I only had one beer. I was...
Okay.
Yeah, no, I know that I'm a huge lightweight. I'm not that much of one.
Okay.
I'm naturally unstable as a walker.
So is this off mic, or was... Different show you guys are recording.
We went to dinner last night. I had a single beer and I was already falling on him.
They were floppy, yeah.
Yeah, but that's normal. That's what happens when I walk anywhere.
Right. That's fair. How's everybody else? What's going on?
Man,
What's new?
I feel like my center of gravity is slipping the older I get.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, at a certain point, when you get to a certain age, you're like, who gives a fuck, man? I'm going to flop around. I'm just going to run into kids.
I feel vaguely like Popeye walking around.
Yeah, because also, like, the older you get, the more like, well...
Yeah, not just
it's like a bell curve, right?
Right.
Where it's like you get to a certain age where there's the leeway. Like, when you're 90, you could probably shove over a teenager, and no one's going to get mad at you.
Right.
But if you're 40, people get mad at you for that.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so, yeah. Unless you look like Popeye, which is they can't tell how old you are.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you might have some sort of forearm growth disorder.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Something.
It's called spinach. All right.
Hannah, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have anything you want to plug? Any, like, any stuff or things or, like, where people can find you, et cetera? You know how plugs work. Right.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to plug my socials, which are spelled like my name. It's HANAMICHELS. And if you want to see all of the cats owned by the people who run this podcast network, it's GamefullyUn_cats.
Yeah.
I also run that because it insisted on being tied to my Facebook. And therefore, I can't just have Tom and Marina also log in and upload Sweet Pea. It's very annoying for everyone.
What's the system? What's the Sweet Pea pipeline?
I have to bother them.
I think we just randomly text Hannah pictures of the cat.
So like, put it up.
Here it is.
And then I put them up.
Here's this.
Thank you for doing that.
Because, this freaking dope.
Because of yeah.
There's this little piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's going to help
Delightful
us all in the metaverse. The seamless way you're able to share photos with your friends and loved ones.
The way that two people can't own the same account.
It's a real pain.
It is. But, you know, Zuckerberg has to be sure he's getting accurate information that he's stealing. So.
Right. That's very important to him.
Yeah.
Thank you for running that account because... Yeah, oh. Someone has to do it, yeah. Right? They need to see these cats.
Yeah.
They deserve to see these cats.
And I have a pathological need to share these cats. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a... Yeah, no, there was no question I was doing that.
Yeah. We're fans of pathology here at GU. should we name some producers?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's name some producers. Weird way to open naming producers. We never do this, but we should do it this time.
We should try it out and see how it works.
All right. Big old thank you to @NerdNumbers.
Thank you
very much. Thank you to Zero Charisma.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to A Bag Full of Bags.
Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Burser.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to AJ.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew. Hanna deserves more hype. McGuire.
Woo,
and how.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew Howe Presents David Lynch's The Pop-Tart Movie.
Wow,
I'd watch
talking.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Asking Seven.
Thank you. I like the frosting. let me swoop in here. Thank you to Bob Granville.
Thank you.
Thank you to Bootler Britlison.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brian, who Tom knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Brockway Loves the Meat Millie.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Burrito. Wants you to drink water, hit the gym, and do the ska, because they loves y'all.
Pick it up.
Pa. Pick it up.
Pick it up.
Thank you to Chiester's Prophet.
Thank you.
Thank you to Christopher Robert Spartz, Esquire.
Hey, thanks.
And thank you to Dan Hackroyd.
Thank you. Is that it?
Yeah. It's like a
Should
machete
talk about
robot.
Movies?
Your producers are some funny people. I'm liking the names.
Yeah, they're good. They're good people. I like them.
Bunch of swell folks.
Yeah. Should we talk about this fucking Joker sequel?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Joker fuckadoo or whatever it's called.
Fuckadoo. Joker fuckadoo.
Yeah.
This is one where it's like, it's got like 16 million
16
views.
Million views, yeah.
And yeah. So it's like we have to cover it.
Which is a lot, but like it's not, it's like number four, I think, right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's still a lot of
Hanna,
views.
Did you see Joker, Hanna?
I actually didn't.
Do you want to?
I feel like I got the gist.
Okay.
Just from the people in my life and in comedy.
I only saw it the one time. So, like, if people want to know... Like, Tom, have you seen it since?
I have seen it twice, because we covered it on Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Oh, fuck. Did it get any better the second time?
No. It's... No.
My... What, having now spent some time away from it, my overall view is that it seems like it's Taxi Driver, a King of Comedy, made by someone who doesn't quite understand those movies, it felt like.
Yeah.
I remember that. It's kind of like, it's like that kid in high school who's like, I'm so twisted, but they're actually kind of just a bully. Well, like, it gave me those vibes.
It's just
from what I remember.
It's really confusing to me because it doesn't actually have anything to do with Joker the character. It seems like he just selected that to give this movie a built-in audience and then just copied a Martin Scorsese film. That's all he did.
I heard so this Scorsese was like produced it.
Confounding to me.
Yeah, did Scorsese actually produce Joker?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Okay. Because it really that's it seems like it was like this idea of like kids won't watch these movies anymore. Let's slap
the Joker on it. Sure.
Yeah. It looks like he was involved. I mean, that's why obviously. Oh wait, no, never mind. This article is about how he hasn't seen Joker, so no. Oh, it looks like he was offered producing it. I don't know. But like they, you know, De Niro's in it. It's stunt casting.
Yeah.
Overall, it's like the online fan reaction is what really, like I feel like this would have been a fairly mid film, you know, that like, that people would kind of go out of being like, yeah, it was fine, but like the online fan reaction has kind of repelled me more. You know what I mean? Like, have you seen? Not that Twitter matters, but have you seen some of the blue check mark reaction to this trailer?
Oh sure, yeah. I mean, it's all the same, like, you know, swooning over the Daenerys shot with the dragon wings behind her. It's all that.
Hanna, that last shot in this where it's like the lipstick and he moves over. There's already people like sharing it going like, how do you come up with a shot like this? And like a lot of people have very like answered like, you know, that was like the poster for the Dark Knight Joker. Like, you come up with it.
That seems like it was a comic book panel at some point, too. Like, that's, that is a cool visual that's not hard to come up with, though.
Right. The answer is you come up with it easily. You easily come up with it.
You work on a Joker project and it comes to you because that is one of the visuals that's readily available.
I've also seen people talk about, like, wow, look how amazing this must have taken all day to shoot kind of things. It's like, it's a rack focus. They do it all the time in films.
They take all day to shoot. That's what shooting schedules are. They're not
honestly,
nice.
It might have been helped along with CG. Like, we don't even know how the shot was accomplished. It's not that amazing. Like, we lined up this thing in the foreground with this thing in the background. It's like, yeah, that's... They do it a lot. It happens a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
So, this is Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn. It's a jukebox musical, which they are not revealing in this trailer, but it's pretty well
known. Why are they not telling us when something's a musical? Why are they hiding this from us?
You know why?
Men?
I'm guessing. Yeah,
men.
I would... For this, for sure, but like
and their stereotypes about what a musical is.
I think so. It's
but also like, everyone's stereotype about what certain kinds of musicals are.
Right. It's just there's always like South Park hit it was a musical, Sweeney Todd, in a lot of the previews hit that it was a musical.
Yes,
weirdly,
I remember that.
It's
lately it's what
they just tend to do that in trailers. Yeah, I don't know why. I do know why, because they traditionally don't perform as well. So they're like, or at least that was true like 30 years ago, right?
Yeah,
so it's one of those like
say,
things that are true that they just keep believing. Like,
it's funny because
we see foreign musicals doing very well.
Yeah.
And they're marketed as such, and they don't have the same stupid connotations that I don't think we have anymore. So
no. Look at RRR's like, fuck you, we're a musical.
Yeah.
It's just one of those antiquated things, you know, like, they were hemming and hawing over putting out Black Panther in 2018 because they're like, well, we can't sell an international movie with a black lead. It's like,
yeah,
you can't?
It's like, what is this, the fucking 30s?
Are you
What's
the
going
same
on?
People who've been telling us we're racist for decades and decades and decades? I think you're just covering up your own shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all to say that they're concealing this is a jukebox musical.
Which is wild to me because... Honestly, that's the most appealing thing about it.
That's the first thing that I've heard that actually makes me a little interested in it. But like, this trailer also reminded me what it was like to watch the first movie, which was just a deeply unpleasant experience.
Yeah. And I'm glad Gaga's in her wheelhouse of musicals, because that does seem like something she's more equipped to do than, you know, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of her as an actor. Yeah. But I think you know, obviously she's extremely musically talented, and obviously she has some acting skill. This seems like a good bridge. But
absolutely. This is
itself,
a good role for her.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer also annoyed me because, like, the big thing that came out of the Joker was the dancing scenes, right? And, like, there's always these gifs of him dancing and stuff. And this movie, this trailer was all like, look, he's dancing. Now they're dancing together.
Yeah.
And it's like the same dance. Like,
yeah,
it looks
very
much.
Yeah, let's pick up the meme because we don't understand it.
It's like the same stairway dance, it feels like, in this. The fact that it's a musical, like, justifies that to me. Like, I'd be less annoyed because it's like they're dancing because it's a musical. You dance in a musical. That makes sense. So, like, I don't know. That's just such a loudly different thing. Like, one of the things that annoyed me from this trailer was that it looked like, that's like the Joker again. You know, you're just doing it again. Like, it looks like the exact same fucking movie to me, where it's like, there he is running down the street like he did in the, you know, like, it's like similar shots. Like, oh, another, like, riot scene. Here he is on another, like, another Tonight Show set. Like, it looks exactly the same to me. Here he is laugh crying or whatever. And I know that's like this, like it. And so like the fact that it's a musical makes it extremely different than the first one.
Yeah.
And I wish that was something that we wanted, you know, or that studios realized we wanted. Like, the fact that it's different is good. The fact that it's a musical is cool. I like that. That's great. But they seem ashamed of it. They seem ashamed of the one thing that makes it different.
Makes it unique. Yeah.
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 Because otherwise it feels like they're just trying to be like, look, see, it's the Joker again. You love the Joker. I don't know. I'm not... Tom, are we going to have to watch it?
I don't know. Maybe. Jeff and I will.
Yeah, you guys will.
I feel like I'm so sorry for bringing my cynicism into what is your well-built and studied cynicism. You have a reason for yours, and I feel like mine is just built out of spite.
Your new cynicism, we're old cynicism, like we're like...
Well, like, I mean, you worked hard to cultivate it, and you tried not to have it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, our cynicism is like, it's like worn and refined, you know, like an old jacket. Yeah.
Like an old jacket I forgot I had.
We're not far apart in age, but you've been doing this a while.
The ticket stub for the Matrix in my pocket.
My feelings here, personally, is like... If we weren't doing this show and other shows, I'd be happy to just let this pass me by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm ultimately like, I just looked at this trailer and went like, eh. And that was that, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We
have to talk about it. I don't know. I don't know how many other trailers we'll put on here for this movie. Like, how many times can we say the same thing about it, you know?
Right.
Unless there's a trailer that actually shows the music, I'd say, because then we could at least comment on that.
Yeah. It seems like that's going to be what's different.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. All right. Maxine. Max.
Man, okay.
How do you say three X's? Like Max. That's like three S's.
You try to use very sexily. Once you get into three X's.
Maxine.
That's all sex, right? Territory, pal.
I think I nailed it.
You did.
Who's seen Pearl?
I have.
Everyone's telling me I would love it, so I have to.
It's very good. It's also very different from X. If people don't know, Maxine is the third movie in the X trilogy, which is X and then Pearl and then Maxine. I felt the same way. Like Dave wrote down in the notes, like X was a good slasher, but it was just, you know, just kind of like a pretty basic slasher. It was cool that it was an old lady murdering people because she was horny. But like,
honey, you saw X, right? I think we saw.
Yeah,
we watched it all together. Yeah. But like Pearl is a totally different movie.
It's a prequel, right?
Yeah. It's a character study about the old lady. It's just about her as a young woman back in the 20s. And it's just this pitch dark character study following her character, and it quite an ending. And this movie looks cool as shit. And it also looks completely different from X. And it looks totally different from Pearl. I think it's the same character from X, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Yeah. You sort of said my thoughts on it, which is like, X was good. I really liked Ty West. He directed House of the Devil and The Innkeepers, which I love both of those movies. Did he do The Sacrament?
He did The Sacrament, too. Yeah, the
Jonestown
really
movie. I really liked Ty West's films. And X was good, but it was like... Watching it, I was like, cool film. Can't wait to see what else he's going to make. And then he stopped there and was like, well, let's make some more of these. And my view was like, really? More of these? Like, I kind of want to see you make something new, you know? Like, I guess this is your thing that you're into. And then he made Pearl, and now this. And it's like, all right, I guess we're stuck on this. But, yeah, like, I haven't seen Pearl yet, and I think we're going to have to sit down and watch Pearl.
You gotta watch Pearl. That'll tip your opinion, I think.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this trailer was already skewed on, I want to see this, whether or not it's good or bad, I can't tell, but I'm interested enough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a grimy, like 70s, like serial killer thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a noir,
like a Dirty
Hollywood.
Harry sequel almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally different from the other movies.
Like,
yeah.
It's a good idea for this character. So the idea is this character, she went to Hollywood to become an actress. That's like, and so like X is when she's old and back home. Is that the idea?
Sort of.
And she's just so horny that she murders. Okay, well, I'll watch it.
I can't tell you that you have a Pearl. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll watch Pearl. Hannah, how'd you like X? I remember seeing it with you.
Do you remember that rant about how old ladies aren't scary? Or just, like, I'm so sick of that being the villain and everything. Just old ladies in and of themselves are not scary and terrifying just because they're old and their boobs are droopy. It's fine.
That is a trope that's been around for a very long time.
All the way back to
Kubrick. Like, it's interesting how that was a horror trope.
At the same time,
and not
that
just
film,
old women,
I
too,
enjoyed
like old
it,
people.
And she had agency. So it wasn't like a symptom of the problem as much. It was more interesting than that, for sure.
Right.
It was a fun little twist, but it wasn't the end-all be-all of, like, that's what the scary thing is.
Right. Yeah, that checks out. It's also offensive to alligators.
It is. Well, is it offensive alligators, or does it celebrate alligators?
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Does it celebrate and reward our good scaly boys?
Yeah.
Pearl makes X better, actually. Even though it's a completely different movie and it's its own thing, it does, like, it puts context on some scenes and characters in X where you're like, oh, okay,
that makes this scene
a little worse, you know,
yeah.
Or a little, like, it makes it hit, you know, in the ways that a prequel is supposed to.
That's cool. Yeah,
I mean, you could already feel that, like, this wasn't just an old lady. This was, like, a society laden, like, this was a character riddled with an entire lifetime that we can kind of hint at, but we don't fully know.
Yeah. You walked right into a lot of X is about that, where they just sort of disregard them because they're old. But it's like, you have walked into a person's, a stranger's entire life, and you don't know anything about them. And then so when you watch Pearl, you're like, they really walked into something. They didn't know what they were walking into.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm into
sweet.
It. I need to catch up. I definitely need to catch up with
Me
this.
Me too.
Because
Ty West. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I just can't stress enough how much I love Ty West.
He's a pretty good
his
director,
work is
yeah.
a delight. Yeah.
I also wanted to call out Kevin Bacon as the PI in this movie.
Yes.
Like, perfect 70s scumbag. Although I think this takes place in the 80s, but...
I mean...
Close enough.
It is amazing scumbag energy. Like, real fun stuff.
Yeah. It must be the late 80s, or they're just fudging it, because The Night Stalker, I think, was...
Yeah, I think they said 85... Oh, wait, yeah, when was The Night Stalker?
I think started mid-80s, ended in the 90s.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a little late for serial killing. A little retro of him.
It's because he had a quote-unquote disorganized but also organized killing pattern. I don't know. The FBI fucked up on their profile.
Does
on
that
him.
Mean like...
Okay,
you
he
mean
was...
like he was bad at killing? Like the idea where he'd like wake up and be like, fuck, I forgot to kill somebody. And, like, he had to, like, go quickly kill somebody, like that
Yes
idea?
And no, and they couldn't reconcile that. They couldn't reconcile that he was some part pre-planned and some part winging it.
So he was, like, a bad serial killer. He was bad
yes,
at it.
Yes, he was bad
That's
at
amazing.
It.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yes, and that made them worse at catching him.
the community ultimately caught
him. Yeah.
Right, where they're like he leaves the crime scene. He's like, fuck, I forgot to leave a riddle. I was going to leave
a
riddle.
Yeah, I was going to leave a puzzle.
The city of L.A. caught him. The LAPD did jack shit.
Yeah,
I will stand on that.
They caught him in 85. So they caught him the year this movie takes place.
Okay, why am I thinking 90s?
You might be thinking of BTK.
No, that wasn't down here. I was thinking of someone local. Okay, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I need Hillside to close Strangler? The vault that is potentially, but I think he was more central. I need to close the vault that is true crime in my brain.
Your
and
mind
move on.
Palace full of creeps.
Yes.
Your head of Elector mind
my
palace.
My
palace
full of creeps, yes.
I want to talk about this next one because, Tom, this didn't even click until you pointed out in the notes. Because this is wild to me now that I realize. Speak No Evil with James McAvoy. This is a remake of such a fresh movie that it's on my, like, oh, I got to get around to that new. Like, in my head, the original. This is a remake of a 2022 film that's on my like Amazon watch list that I believe we talked about on this show.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, I need to watch that.
And it's in English. Like, I don't understand. Like,
yeah,
at the very
Tom,
least, like,
Dutch.
If you're going to remake
Tom.
like at the very least I understood like remakes, which were just like, well, we're, it's a recent movie, but it's in a different language, so they're remaking it for like mainstream American audiences or whatever. But this one is like baffling to me.
They're Dutch, Tom. They're Dutch.
It's also Dutch, very close, like. Most of the scenes I recognized.
It looks like the exact same thing.
And they spoil the fucking movie in this trailer.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good. It makes me want to go see the 2022 one.
You should. It's a movie I can never watch again.
Ooh.
It's one of those horror movies.
Yeah.
But
it, yeah, it seemed very family heavy.
Good. Yeah. It's quite
good. It probably
good.
Hit a lot of people pretty hard. But yeah. I'm down.
I like watching James McAvoy freak out to Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
There's just something very funny about that,
yeah.
that
and
choice.
We've all seen that kind of little league dad and been like, how far is this guy going to go? Should I be scared?
Yeah.
It's
like
the basic...
That parent.
Yeah. Literally the fucking bat dad at Little League.
Yeah.
The basic gist of this movie is it's two families, they meet on vacation and one family invites the other to visit them at their house. So they go out there and stay. It's a husband and wife and their daughter that go out to visit this couple that they met and their young son. And it plays a lot with the social contract idea of where like things are off from the start a little bit, and then they just start to get more and more off. And it's about like how much will these people sort of put up with and ignore?
What is that movie, Nocturnal Animals? It sounds like the kidnapping scene in Nocturnal Animals.
Very close to the kidnapping scene in Nocturnal Animals, yeah.
Yeah, just stretched out even more, where things get, it gets so...
It's a slowly tightening, noose.
Yeah. This remake is from the director of the Woman in Black remake, which I think is a legit movie with Harry Potter versus
Ghost.
It's
okay, yeah, it was all
right. I watched it recently, I still like it, but that's all to say that this feels like a waste of that director, because I'm like, yeah, now that I realize it's from the 2022 movie, I'm just going to go back and watch that instead. And I don't want you to say it, what's been spoiled, because it didn't feel spoiled to me watching this trailer, but having watched the movie, would know.
Yeah.
Like the kid not talking, I kind of understood why he wasn't talking at the early part of the trailer.
That is a reveal that comes very late.
Because
it's the whole point of the movie is a cat and mouse game. Are these people really in danger, or are the people they're staying with just weird freaks?
Okay, yeah.
So showing why the kid doesn't talk in the trailer kind of ruins that.
Right, yeah, so, yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
He even shows you.
what I mean is like it
generally
didn't feel...
things are more obvious when they're remade for Americans.
Yeah. Does he not do that in the
No.
Okay. Because that was the thing where in the earlier shot I was like, oh, and then they show that and I was like, yeah, I got it, movie.
They don't
They
don't show that because it becomes devastatingly obvious.
Fun movie.
Yeah,
right,
it's a fucked up movie. Casting James McAvoy in that role is cool. That's a cool idea.
I mean, he's very good at it.
Yeah,
Split.
Oh gosh, Mackenzie Davis, is that her name from *Halt and Catch Fire* and *The Terminator*?
Is that who the other one is?
Yeah, the mom.
Okay.
I like her.
I didn't recognize any of these honkies, but
she's doing a voice. She's doing like a British voice.
Gross.
I really don't know why you'd remake this.
No, this seems completely pointless.
It's
realizing
a really strange pick for a remake.
It's a remake of an English movie from 2 years ago.
Yeah, an English film that's like...
It's just like,
not
what
that
the
old.
Fuck, guys? Yeah, like, this was just... Like, it's going to be like next to the original in like new releases, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, you guys should watch this movie. Get together and watch this movie. And,
yeah,
and
we're
going to
get
then
together.
Let me know how.
We're going to watch this.
Text me
we're
when
gonna
you
watch
finished.
Pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll watch Joker. Triple feature.
I think you might just give up after that. After all those movies back to back.
just done with movies.
You might just be like, I'm just done. Let's move on.
Fly Me to the Moon. This is Taters and
the Channing Tates.
Who else?
The Tater Chans. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is a I hope it's just a movie. Is it? Is it a
it's
series?
An Apple TV Plus project. I think it's a film.
Hold on. I'm looking.
It is
up.
Genuinely hard to tell sometimes.
It is. It's okay. Edited like a film trailer.
It is. Yeah.
It looks like I think it's a movie. It's about the brave marketing team behind the moon landing. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a film.
Okay. It Channing Tatum plays like not an astronaut. He's like a space nerd. Classic nerd Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's a launch director or whatever. I don't know. Launch directors can look like fucking supermodels, I guess. But and then Scarlett Johansson, he had a meet cute with, turns out to be the marketing director to help sell the moon landing because people don't care about NASA anymore. Which I don't. Was that true for the moon landing?
I don't know. I don't know if this is based on any fact other than NASA exists.
Yeah, I kind of hope it isn't, just because if it's based on anything at all, conspiracy theorists are going to grab this and run with it.
Right, because she starts fake. I felt like we got the whole story. Because
yeah,
then she makes
did.
She does a fake moon landing to
just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
It's like so many hats on hats. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
I got
a
that
weird premise.
Thought
and it's
yeah.
also, it's not interesting. It's very like
no, it's not.
Inside business deals. I don't care.
Like, I don't care how you sold the space race to the American people, because it seems like this isn't even true.
So, yeah.
Right. Because it's like, I remember in Apollo 13, they like very specifically have this gag where they're like, people don't care about the moon anymore because like the moon landing was a big deal.
Well, yeah.
But like the 13th mission, who cares? That I can believe. But this is like, no one cares about landing on the moon, a thing we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
Like that just, it.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
I mean, maybe like, NASA was delusional. Maybe they were like, we already paid people to jerk off dolphins and they still don't care. So what are we going to do?
Jerk off more dolphins on the moon.
Yeah,
clearly.
Give the dolphins acid. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Look it up. I'm not crazy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist who's going to take this movie and run with it.
Two things can be true.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. This just seems like...
Actually, they didn't pay her. But she was technically on their payroll.
Well, jerking off a dolphin is
its own reward.
Yeah.
Collect my payment in dolphin semen.
I am so sorry, everyone. I just got off of coaching. And
you talk about jerking off dolphins
jerking
all the time. All the time.
Integral part of the
As
process.
It is what life coaching is all about.
Is it just your metaphor here? Like,
yeah,
you
metaphor
know, trauma
for
is a lot
person,
like a dolphin's.
Well,
stick.
I'm not
you
treating
work
trauma.
It out.
That's a therapist's job. But like anyone's life goals, achieving their life goals.
It's like
yes,
a dolphin's
dolphin
stick.
Orgasm. Yes, 100%. That's exactly what it is.
It's like giving a handy to a unicorn.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
it kind of is. Same noises. I feel like
yeah. Do unicorns come out of their horns? Probably,
yeah.
Right? That's where I would.
I feel like that's the case, but if we're talking about like whatever the prehistoric version of unicorns were, they were probably just like ancient European rhinos.
I really like the idea.
Yeah, I don't
of,
like that.
I know, it's boring.
I love the idea that like slowly over time, the dick of a rhino became the horn of
a unicorn.
Yeah.
Through like storytelling changes. That's what I want.
No, I mean that's what humans are. The dicks of whales became all sorts of sea monsters.
That's true.
Yeah, because they're weird.
Anyway,
sorry.
Woody Harrelson's in this movie.
Sure.
The dick
so
of whales.
Is Ray Romano.
Yeah, the part. All right, there's a part in this where they say we have to hire actors because Channing Tatum, you don't look good on camera. Did I catch that? Is that what that premise was? Where she's like, some of our guys aren't very camera ready. Channing Tatum, you have to get an actor. Like, I don't know. The whole thing just feels, there's something wrong with this fucking trailer and this movie and this premise. where it just everything feels like weird and sweaty, and like I don't understand the point, and like I don't know, we've come a long way from Mad Men, it feels like. Remember when marketing and ad people were seen like cynically as like, you know, kind of fake people pushing fake ideas? And recently it really feels like, now that like executives are in charge of movie making, there's a lot of movies that are like, what if we do a movie about how great executives are? Like that's the vibe I've been getting lately. It's like, what if rich executives were the hero of our story? Let's do a story about how we sold Nike Air Jordans. Let's do a story about how the moon landing, we had to like sell it. The power of selling things, of commercials. Let's do this, like, it's just funny because you know how like Hollywood loves making movies about how great movies are, right?
Yeah.
And like the reverence towards like the magic of movies. That's what feels like is happening. It's like executives making movies about the power of executives and ads. Yeah.
Do you remember,
I swear to God, there was a period in the 2010s when agents and managers had a lot more power than they do now. And there was a subplot in every movie for a while that was about a guy being crappy because his relationship with his father was crappy, and that's every producer I've ever met, and I felt wronged in some way.
I thought you were going into Jerry Maguire territory, but yeah.
I swear to God, there was a period in the 2010s where every single subplot, even of remakes, even of reboots, it was all about, let's add a terrible relationship with a dad in here.
I mean, that checks out, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they go through these weird phases, and like now our weird phases.
Yeah, they gave
Willy
Wonka a dad.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
2010s.
That was 2005, but close. It was close to the 2010s.
Mid 2000s,
yeah, it was around there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know about this.
It seems like somebody imitating Steven Soderbergh, and I wish this movie, at least from what we've seen in the trailer, had more of a point of view. Because it starts with like, let's tell the story about how we had to sell NASA. We had to sell the idea of NASA to the American people in order to even be able to do the moon landing. That could be an interesting movie. But then it goes off in this weird direction about like having to stage a fake backup moon landing. And
it's so, and then she's like, oh, we should have gotten
to
Kubrick
speak in public for people. Yeah, it's like it starts adding on all these layers.
It's like Wag the Dog. It feels like Wag the Dog, but without any point. It feels like when Charlie and It's Always Sunny just stand up about like cats. You remember that? Where like, you know, like when someone does like trying to do a stand up that's relatable, but it's about something just completely off the grid.
It's their own very specific experience.
There's like a community cutaway where Abed is doing stand up about their apartment and Troy is laughing and no one else gets
perfect.
It because it's their apartment. Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah, it feels like that where they're trying to make Wag the Dog and they're like, you know how like NASA faked the moon landing but didn't really and hired actors, and it's like, what is this? What are you even trying to say?
Yeah. I'm still trying to spread that they skimped someone on payment for jerking off a dolphin.
I know. You tell me this every day.
First thing in the morning.
Look, Carl Sagan might have died thinking his legacy was clean, but I'm here to destroy that.
Carl Sagan's dead?
Oh, is he dead? I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. No, he was involved in this project.
And the dolphin jerking off or this movie?
Dolphin jerking off.
All right. Because I could believe either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Acid was the clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this this is also, we should note, this is like tongue-in-cheek. This movie is... Mm-hmm.
Maybe
just,
that's why we feel like they don't have a point of view.
That's what it is like it's almost like nihilistically tongue-in-cheek. Like it'd be what... And maybe it ultimately is this... If it's like trying to come down on ad people, like if it's actually a satire on the advertising, like
in its heyday,
that might be it. It's just it gives off the trailer of like maybe it's really weird. Like maybe they just didn't know how to sell this movie, and that's why there's just something really weird about this trailer.
We generally don't know how to market satires. That has been historically true.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a set way to do it. I don't think we figured that out. It's hard to boil down a very distinct type of humor into a trailer. So that could be it. But given how many films these days are kind of like Joss Whedon-y tongue in cheek, like I'm going to wink at the camera and acknowledge that I'm in a movie, but not really have a point of view. I'm not optimistic. I'm hopeful, but yeah. I'm not. I guess those are synonyms.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not going to watch this to find out. Should we talk about this next thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sorry. Dolphin
Family Pack.
This is a French movie about Jean Reno and his family finding a magic werewolf Jumanji game that transports them back to werewolf times.
I'm going to show you guys the IMDb. I'm putting it in our chat because, cool. like, I feel like French people are weird. It's like, all right, so this is like Jumanji, right? Like, it feels like it's trying to be, like, kind of a zany family comedy, but yeah. it's really hard to find that within all of it. Like, the IMDb, the poster, it looks like a Game of Thrones-ass looking poster of, like, this weird, they're really obsessed with, like, the game piece. Mm-hmm. And then the synopsis is, when night falls, and the players have their eyes closed, werewolves make victims among the villagers. So it's werewolf.
It's
right?
Werewolf, it's, yeah.
It's werewolf. But I feel like they didn't have the rights to werewolf. I got that vibe. So they make it like this weird Jumanji board game that's like ancient that they get sucked into. And then like the trailer treats it like it's kind of creepy and a little serious. But then like by the end, you're like, this is a zany family comedy, right? Like, right? Like, is that is what it is, I think.
It's what it looks like, yeah.
It is like, what okay. it looks like. I have never been able to tell when the French are being comedic, so I'm not a good judge.
I guess that's what my problem is, too. That's the problem I'm having, which is that, like, I'm so used to, like, bad, zany, like, American trailers, you know?
Yeah. That, we like, don't know when they're funny.
Yeah, this felt very serious at first. And so it was like a slow burn, me realizing like, oh, I think this is like a zany yeah. family comedy.
I'm sure a lot of stuff gets lost in translation, and comedy generally does not sell as well across languages. That's why That's we true. Stopped making them, which yeah. sucks.
I still want to see whatever this is because I'm
yeah.
super fucking curious about whatever the hell this is. Like, it's
Jean Reno having a Jumanji adventure with his family.
It's such a weird premise for an adaptation of Werewolf, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just watched Werewolf Within,
yeah.
which, I mean, I half watched it. But, like, that one, it went with the paranoia, right? Because that's the game, is
yeah.
a bunch mm-hmm. of people sitting around going, I think you're the werewolf. It seems like that's not what is happening here.
Yeah, this one looks like, we keep saying it, but it looks like Jumanji. Like, it doesn't look like they're sitting around trying to figure out who the werewolf is.
No.
It's really weird.
It looked to me like it was based on a book.
No, it's based on a board game. There's apparently a card game
That's
version
what I thought
of werewolf.
Originally. That's what I thought. But then it seemed like I've never seen this game, and it doesn't look like the game that I know of to be werewolf, so I guess that threw me off.
Yeah it's just some older version of it called like the Werewolf of Miller's Hollow or something. It's like a 2001 version of the game.
Why are we doing this with games? What is it about IP that
I think it's related to what you were talking about earlier, right? Where it's so hard to get stuff made right now because all the decisions are being made by the majority of decisions are being made by executives who don't have a background in movies
or
understand or care for art. So something with a recognizable IP is more attractive than something that's just a new idea from, you know, whoever.
Yeah. Yeah. So we feel pandered to, and executives feel like they are pandering to us.
What's funny is I never would have thought this or like 20 years ago, but the broader the IP, I feel like the better chances it has. Meaning that, like...
Of being good?
Of being good because it gives you... Yeah. Like, for example, there's the Minecraft movie coming out. And I realized, like, that could be anything. and that's good, right? Like, you get to slap the word Minecraft on it, so, you know, dipshits like me are going to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as long as that one guy isn't involved, you're good, and he's not anymore.
Notch.
Yeah.
I think he's out, yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he's sitting on this pile of money being
racist.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, that's it. Like, just have a guy named Steve in it, I guess. Show me some fucking Endermen, some creepers. I'm good to go. Like, but like the plot can be fucking whatever you want. And so it just makes it like the Ouija movies and like where it's like, I don't know.
I guess you're right. Yeah. If it is truly to sell to executives, then yeah, the looser the IP, the more you're going to want to sell it. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then just like
when you're thinking about it through that lens. Yeah.
You get to do whatever you want. Like, yeah. You can make the movie
you originally wanted to make in the first place.
You can take John Reno and his family and throw them right the fuck back in time.
Exactly. Yeah. God damn, John Reno.
Get your French ass 400 years into the past.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah. It doesn't come out till October. It's like a long ways away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family pack.
Family pack. I get it.
It's just called werewolf in French. Family it's called loup-garou.
Oh, okay. Family pack's better because, all right, pack of cards, like a game.
And pack
of werewolves.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And werewolf. Yeah. Wake up is the next one. That's what it's called, really?
Yep. I could see how that also wouldn't be a pun in French.
Oh, yeah. I just realized how bad the name of this movie is.
That's what I was going to say. That is, and I think that lends itself to your point about how cynical the lens is.
I don't know. I keep forgetting
when
what
you
this
think
movie
of
is
terrible
based on the title.
Protesters, you think of the phrase "Wake up, sheeple."
Oh yeah, that's what it's. That's what it's referring to. You're right.
I think so.
Well, one of them holds a flag in it that says "Wake up" when they're making their video, when they're smashing up the Walmart.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the idea of eco-terrorists protesting for awareness to begin with is a lot of people have found silly.
Yeah, it's been a punchline in movies for like 40 years.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's not really, it's punching down. It's not really a thing that exists.
Let's explain
right
what
now.
The premise is. So the premise is a group of eco-terrorists with like paintball guns break into a mall. Which we definitely still have those. And
it's a Walmart.
Oh, it's a Walmart? Okay.
Yeah, like a big box superstore.
Mm-hmm. And they are messing up the place in the name of animal rights. And then a mall security guard just like snaps and starts murdering them like Jason Voorhees style. Or it appears that like they accidentally murder the first one. And then it's like no witnesses, which I think is a very fun idea.
Yeah.
For a premise for a movie.
Yeah.
It's also the director of Turbo Kid.
And Summer of 84.
Which are good movies. I like those movies. That makes me feel a little bit better about this.
I'll say about Summer of 84, the thing that I really liked about it was how it subverts itself at the end.
Right. Because
you really think the movie is going to go one way, like Goonies, Adventure Kids. And then the final act shows up and you realize, oh no, it's for like 14-year-olds going up against an adult murderer. Like,
right.
What
yeah,
do you think's going to happen? So like this movie,
they're not going to Home Alone him. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So like, I'm thinking maybe there'll be some of that vibe with this because like the,
where it seems like it's going one
way. Right.
Yeah. Cause
like
trailer.
For the first half of the trailer, I didn't know this was going to be a horror movie. It seems like it's a different movie because they're wearing these cool masks and they seem, they seem kind of like it just had a different vibe at the beginning.
Well, at first they seem like they're the threat. They're
kind
like
of.
The masks, like the animal masks are very like, oh, this is like a lot of
you're next to you're the strangers.
But of course that's the bit in You're Next, right? Yep. Where it's like, oh, they're the victims. Yeah. They're not they're the prey, they're not the predator. I'm mixed about it because like the thing that's putting me off is like if you watch this trailer in the YouTube comments, there's so many people like, I'm on the cop side. Yeah, go cop. And it's like, I'm not sure that's the point of the movie, but it's just like watching a cop basically murder activists. And then there's a bunch of dipshits being like, yeah, awesome film. And it's like, in today's climate, I don't know, knowing that it's the Turbo Kid and Summer of 84 people makes me go like, it's probably made in good faith. It's not going to be, it's not Death Wish, you know, but like it. And I don't
think
you can't sell a you can't sell a film with a twist. You can't put that in. So there's only so much you can do on Hypecast.
Right. But yeah, it I think it's probably going to be good. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, knowing who the director is now, I'm more down.
Yeah, for sure. I did feel a little bit of that when I first saw the trailer, where I was like, I feel like this movie could, like, is this going to be like a Craig Zoller joint where I'm going to like watch it and be like, wait, what the fuck does this guy try to tell me?
Right, where it's like using irony to sneak in some really shitty messages. Yeah.
So when I looked up the directors and saw it was Turbo Kid, Summer 84 people, I went on the same journey you guys both just did. Where it's like, oh, okay, this is probably done in good faith.
Probably, like, sadly, this trailer isn't being accepted in good faith. But yeah. I think
you can't control how people react to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, YouTube comments are always going to be the worst of humanity. So,
oh yeah, I think those
you never know
be...
how quiet sane people are reacting to something.
Exactly, but I mean, yeah, it's definitely it's weird because without the comments, it still pinged me right where it's like the slashers are kind of the thing about a slasher is that it's a really easy way to do wink wink stuff. And what I mean by that is like the dragged across concrete guy who is, there's a very good case to be made that that man is a white supremacist. And he was the writer on the Puppet Master one where the puppets are Nazis. And the puppets are technically the villains, right? But it is watching Nazis kill a bunch of like minority characters. And so it's like, oh, but they're the bad guys. But also, wink, wink, don't we love it when Jason kills people? You know what I mean? So it's like the same deal with this. Where
it's very easy to target a group of people in a slasher movie. And you might not realize it at first. And then you're like, wait a minute. I feel like this guy's only stabbing Puerto Rican people. What's happening?
Exactly. And so this is the same, right? Where it's like, well, the Night Watchman's the bad guy. But wink, wink, watch this cop kill these activists. And so, like... it could have very easily been that, but I do want to restate. I don't think that's what this is going to end up being.
I didn't get that vibe from their other movies, so
yeah.
But then again,
like
Zoller snuck
play
up
with
on
those
me.
Ideas a lot, yeah, so.
It took me like two movies to figure that out about Craig Zoller. Yeah. So maybe I'm not the best judge.
Well,
it's hard.
I think that we used to take irony and good faith in the past a lot more than we do now for that reason.
Absolutely.
I think that we're pinging this because we're seeing what is probably just irony and suspicious.
There's also a retro factor.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning that like Turbo Kid is specifically trying to be this retro futurism. It has Michael Ironside in it. It's trying to invoke our like... our feelings of like, oh yeah, remember like 80s and 90s retrofuturism? Summer of 84 is also doing that. And the thing about retro is retro films were always a little more conservative. And so like that comes with it. And fucking Dragged Across Concrete guy was also using that a little bit.
Slasher movies are traditionally conservative.
Yeah. Cell Block we're all in Cell Block 99 is trying to be like John Carpenter, right? Like, it's like gritty John Carpenter, which has always been like, yeah, a little conservative, a little libertarian. But then you think about it a little harder and you go like, wait, was Vince Vaughn's character a Nazi? I think he might have been a Nazi that we were rooting for. That's weird. That's real weird.
Anyway.
But that's a bigger conversation.
This is Wake Up. This does have a cool retro vibe to it. It looks cool. It reminds me of something like Chopping Mall.
Yes. And yeah, for the record, a lot of this we're putting on the film.
It does not actually in the trailer. We just,
My only actual real criticism of this is bad name. I really don't like the name of this. I keep forgetting what it is.
Yeah, it's not a great name.
Yeah. It's really just because the name is so generic that I'm like, is this going to be like, what is this? Is this a comedy about a morning show? What is this? Oh, it's a mall slasher. All right. You know what doesn't have a bad name? Our next trailer.
I love this title. This very, very rarely do you get to see a title as pure and poetic as this.
Yeah. And Kill. The first, I would say, like, quarter of the film and the title of the film made me think that they were going to discover a bunch of Garfield phones, and I was so excited.
Wait, what?
Okay. I'm sorry, this is another obscure thing that I feel the need to tell everyone.
Fucking rabbit hole you're about to open up.
Sweet, okay. Let's do it.
I know about the phones washing up. I don't know why this made you think of that.
Because they washed up in the ocean right next to Paris, and they discovered them very
late.
No,
you're thinking of your wrong trailer.
Oh, the one right before it.
Oh,
we're at Kill.
I am sorry.
We're at the film Kill.
I am so sorry. That's
no, you're fine.
Completely,
you're fine. We can save that trailer for the next trailer.
Okay.
No, Kill, this is the raid,
oh, yeah,
but
this
on a
one,
train.
I did not think of Garfield phones. Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I was so excited to hear that story. I was
I know,
like,
I was
how
what
is
this
going to connect?
This is out of India.
Yeah. You wrote the raid on a train, and that's what it looks like.
That's what it is. I love that the advertisement is like, it's going to be India's most violent, bloody film. Like, that's what they're basically
riding every
on.
Poll quote is just about how crazy violent this movie apparently is.
Yeah, and I love that they were like, what do we name this extremely violent movie? And they're like,
fucking Kill!
Yeah.
It's coming out in July, just in time for my birthday.
I'm so psyched.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that we've kind of gotten super hyped about with films coming out of India is Choreo, so I'm really excited for this.
A guy gets pile-drived into a toilet in this trailer.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
He absolutely does. That's the thing. It's got like a little tinge of Bollywood madness in it. Like you could get that where it's like he's not making a ball of humans and throwing it at a car. But like the gravity is a little different.
Right. It's not full like wire kung fu, but it's not full like raid kung fu either. There's a little bit of like heightenedness to it.
Yes. It's
I just said a guy gets fucking pile-drived into a toilet.
Yeah.
Not that you couldn't do that in real life, but I imagine it's rare.
Yeah, it takes a few tries. I just love that this year we're doing a lot of, and last year and the year before, but like, it really is like the best time for action.
Yeah. John Wick really did us all a favor.
Yeah. And The Raid.
And The Raid.
Like
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we sort of like,
and those are both choreo heavy. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. And so like, it's just great to see like everybody's pitching in now. And it's like, we have
Bob Odenkirk got one.
Yeah. And this year, it's like, oh my god, I got to see Monkey Man, and I got to see Kill, and I got to see what's the Skarsgård one? Boy Kills World. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, there's so fucking many. They're all bleeding together. And if you like these movies like I do, it's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah. It's the best problem.
Our cup runneth over. Right.
As long as you're not my mother who saw everything everywhere and was like, this could have done without the fight scenes, you'll be happy.
Well, that's what I was going to say is there are people who it's not their cup of tea and it's probably a little annoying, right?
Sure. They'll
go into a movie theater and all the trailers are like the same premise.
Yeah.
Of like, here's a dude just killing people.
I would say a lot of those people, action films bored me for many decades.
Yeah.
And I'm excited again.
Yeah, me too.
I thought that was something you grow out of. No, it's just action films were bad for a while.
Yeah, they ebb and flow.
It's
and
not
I
something
love...
I grow out of, I can tell you that.
I love that. I think The Raid technically started it, but John Wick is probably the thing that's put it on the map.
I think that's what really put it over, yeah. Because The Raid was still kind of a niche movie.
Right.
As big as it got.
It's a specific thing, which is the realization that got made famous by John Wick, which is we don't really need a big reason for one guy to kill a bunch of people. The realization of just like, 90s action was always like these elaborate plots or like they killed his family. And John Wick was like, what if it's just like his dog?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah. Inevitably made women props. Even nobody who had a family steered clear of that.
Right. And so, like, I feel like they've slowly realized that. Of just like, just get to the murder.
Yeah.
Like, just give them just baseline reason and let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we do all love puppies.
Oh, yeah. But even like Fury Road.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, we just have to get to this place.
Yeah.
That's Fury Road. Let's get to this place and then, uh-oh, we have to go back.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We've
and
been I just seeing love... movies long enough. We don't need the pretense.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need a big elaborate plot.
Yeah, I have no idea why this person is on a train, why anybody's trying to kill them.
No.
I don't need to know.
I hope it just begins with him like getting the wrong soda and being like, I want to speak to like the front of the train. And then we're like, sorry, sir. And he's like, all right, I guess I'm going to kill all
guess
of you.
I'm going to kill. And we're like, oh, we said it.
Yeah. All right. Main event.
Okay, here we go.
Garfield
sorry.
Phone the movie.
Garfield phones.
Under Paris. So I.
Excuse me, Dave. Under Paris.
Paris. Under Paris. All right. Oh, damn it. Sorry. The poster gives it away. But I love how the name and most of this trailer, or at least the first part, you genuinely don't know what this is going to be, right?
Yeah. That's why my brain immediately genuinely went to Garfield phones.
Explain Garfield phones.
Okay. So maybe 5 to 7 years ago.
I think it was more than that, but go on.
Maybe. I don't know. Oh. Time is a nothing to me anymore. Yeah. But yeah, they discovered a bunch of Garfield phones washed off a beach near Paris, in France, at just a cave full of 1980s Garfield phones, which I don't know if you've seen them. My friends Jeffrey and Amanda have one. If you pick it up from the receiver, its eyes open. So if you kind of jiggle it on the receiver, it looks like Garfield is coming. It's they're disturbing
yeah.
phones already.
Sweet.
They are disturbing phones. And then add the wear and tear of having washed up and being in a cave and destroying all wildlife for like several decades. It's haunting. It's a haunting
yeah.
location. Garfield is already haunting to begin with. It's kind of a beautiful accidental art piece. I feel like that's the only way to make an art piece about like consumer culture is accidentally. Without
right.
it being
happening?
Like pretentious and obnoxious. No, that
felt...
cave of Garfield phones. We can stop now. It's done.
I just wanted to add it that because it's perfect because that probably fell off a cargo ship in like 1988.
Exactly.
it was happening
yeah.
for
was
30
years.
No, it was happening continuously. Yeah, it was
oh,
happening continuously. Yeah.
I'm reading an article about it in Smithsonian.
That's where they were. Yeah, that's where they were shipping
for 30 years. It was just regularly washing up.
Oh, okay.
But I don't.
They didn't know where they were washing up from for a long time, and then they found this like cache full of them.
That's amazing. But
somebody's stockpiling. Got my
I don't know
phones.
If they had previously washed up or if someone had stored them there. Either way, they were too decayed at that point to know.
Yeah, it was a metal shipping container starved with phones tucked inside a sea cave. So, like, yeah, it must have, like, yeah, it must have been some shipping accident. And then the thing got lodged in there. And then it was just
slowly leaking Garfield
phones
yes.
over 30 years.
Yeah. It's the half-life
Amazing.
Of a Garfield phone container.
Right. This has nothing to do with
nothing
sharks.
To do
so
with this
sorry.
Movie, but no, it's perfect.
This is it's a shark. It's under Paris.
It's a shark
and
movie.
I love that in the trailer they're like, there's this triathlon swim thing. We gotta stop it before it kills the swimmers. And then just in the trailer it shows the swimmers getting killed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, how well did that go for you? Did you stop the shark? Like, it's one of those that feels like it shows me the whole movie and I don't care. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch this
yeah.
a million times.
Probably more than once the day it releases.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love me a good shark movie.
It's fucking shark just murdering
Shark
Paris.
Under Paris.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu.
From the director of Mayhem, whatever that was.
Although, why the fuck isn't the shark in Venice?
Right.
That's where it should be.
That's where you should have a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd
this
be a
is
real
the director
problem.
Of Hitman, 2007's Hitman.
Okay.
Does that make you feel better or worse? I want to... I
don't remember
I'm so excited.
Any Lateral films move. From 2007. Mm-hmm. And I think I prefer to keep it that way because I don't know. But I don't know. I don't remember.
I mean, have we watched Hitman with Timothy Olyphant?
We have. And if you're asking me if I think that guy can make a shark movie, the answer is probably.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he has.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely has. This is coming this summer. In terms of like shark movies, this stands out to me, right? It's not like there's a million people
on
that
over the top.
It's not about the shark. That's the important thing. It's like, it's the reason we love the most recent Godzilla is because they did the obvious thing of not making it about the monster and not adding fucking Godzilla lore. We don't
mean the
Godzilla minus one.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we don't care. No, it's not about the shark. It was never about the shark. Jaws wasn't about the shark.
It's
kind of about the shark, but why we're not actually invested in this because of the shark. Does that make sense?
The characters.
It doesn't really matter to us if it's a megalodon or not.
That makes some sense. I mean, I'm not invested in the characters in this trailer though. Like I'm here for the shark.
No, but I could be. It's more that the shark is a backdrop. And the shark is an exciting backdrop and a cool backdrop. And I don't necessarily care about these people, but I want to care enough to watch them die.
Right. I think as you're saying, it strikes me more like a Towering Inferno type sitch. More like a disaster movie type situation. And the disaster is a shark.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like they get trapped in like the sewer. There's
more like a slasher, to me, that's still kind of in a similar vein because it is still a character story or the story of a city. Does that make sense?
I want it to be the story of a shark, personally.
This is the story of a shark.
It looks like they got a lot of really cool set pieces. I don't know, the shark looks scary in it too.
Yeah,
like it looks like they're going for it.
I like that last shot of the trailer because you think it's going to do some kind of like super fast like attack thing, but it's just the shark kind of slowly floating up to this character,
guess,
and that's it. It's just looking at it.
I guess I don't care how big or CG it is. I want you to build tension. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
This film seems like it's tension building.
There's also, it's this weird bit in between too, because like all these movies, they kind of hinge on you have to be trapped with the shark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is why Jaws was the perfect shark movie, because the first half is this shark is killing people on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Second half is let's go out, find the shark. Oh no, we're trapped with the shark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's split by halves.
It is. It's almost exactly in half.
Okay. It feels like too many movies pick one or the other, and they usually pick the latter now. What I mean is, like, we watched that Colmeny shark movie.
He sure did.
Where, in the plane.
Sure did.
The problem with that movie is they have nothing to do, right? It's like 80 minutes, and it's like we're really just, like, running out the clock
sitting
with
in a
this
plane,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like when people are trapped with a shark, the problem with that premise is that, like,
yeah, you can't there's start not with humans out of their domain.
Right. And well, it's also like there's just nothing really to do.
Yeah.
Like it's like, well, if they leave, if they get away, then the movie's over. So it has to be just a series of attempts to get away that never work.
Yeah.
So like, and so like this, that's all to say that this isn't that. It's like, it's more active. It's like we're running around. We're trying to get the shark. Like I think shark movies
it's an
work
entire
really
city
well.
In peril. We're just discovering this. Now we have to convince everyone that this is what's happening. Now we have to save the swimmers. Yeah.
Right. It works really well when the main character is invested in following and pursuing the shark as opposed to trying to get away from the shark. Unless you make Deep Blue Sea. And you make a big enough environment for people to get
I was going to say the most recent 37 or 47 meters down is like that, where it's the premise is they're stuck in a system of underwater caves and it's a blind shark that's chasing them.
That's cool.
It's cool.
See,
yeah.
Like, that is, you give that, them, those are some interesting stakes.
Yeah. Give them a big enough maze to work through, you know? But it's just stick them on a raft, you know, like there's very few, I think The Shallows is the only movie that successfully did that for me, and that even that movie is still like by the end you're like, all right, let's get it over with now, you know. But like that movie is just a lot of fun, but it's hard. It's making a shark movie is hard. It's hard to do.
Clearly there's been many attempts, a few successes
but and this will be one of them. Attempts, I mean.
no doubt
yeah.
Assuredly be one of the successes. I mean, it's
I
a shark
so.
Under Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should give it a little beret. They should just
it should be dressed as a mime.
Yeah. I do love the idea of snooty Parisians just treating the shark like a tourist. Just speaking it in shark like it'll understand. No, stop. Stop, sis. No.
It better eat a mime at least.
Yeah.
I wanted to only eat mimes. I wanted to just be...
And then none of them can scream. They're all just like...
Yeah. Yeah. They do like jazz hands.
Yeah. It's like Quint's death scene in Jaws, but it's just the mime doing jazz hands in the shark's mouth. Oh, my God.
Why?
A mime eating shark.
Why have we not set more of these around theater kids?
Shark movies?
Well, specifically slashers.
Oh. I mean, now I want a shark movie where he eats theater kids, for sure. Yeah.
Me too. So badly.
Theater shark.
Theater shark. Should we think some more producers?
We should, probably.
All right. Big ol' thank you to David Knife Boot Henson. Thank you. Thank you to Deborah's Awesome, Barbara's Great, and Cancer Can Go to Hell. Thank you. Thank you to Dracula, the bus-driving vampire.
Thank you
to Driftless, God Emperor of Hype.
Thank you.
Driftless, God Emperor of Hype, thanks you for watching Lair of the White Worm.
You're welcome.
Comma trips me up. Thank you. Thank you to Ed Nugg.
Thank you.
Thank you to Exploding Runes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Funky G, Mostly Comes Out at Night, mostly.
Thank you.
Thank you to Heathcliff's Helping Handfuls.
Thanks.
Thank you to Highlander, Likes the Way Tom Says Pretty Sweet.
Sweet.
Thank you. Thank you to Ombre.
Thank you.
Thank you to ImpossibleWorlds.net. Issue 3 is out now. Gorge yourself on our fiction, Gorge.
George. All right, let me swoop in here. Thank you to Jay the Crow Baron says, build a guillotine in rich people's yard, 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chris Shanovich.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lieutenant Frank Drevin, Police Squad.
Thank you.
Thank you to Look Mime on a podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mackenzie Fuck Shuffling with Willem Dafoe's Confusingly Large Dick. Chill.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mercurial Oz.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mike the Hell Diver.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mongolian Throat Skanking.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. Tell Your Wife How Many Patreon Subscriptions You Have Before You Agree to Buy a House.
Thank you.
Thank you to musical guest Henry Garfield.
Thanks. Oh, that's it.
That's it.
So they're making a new Blair Witch film. Blumhouse is.
They sure are.
This,
I mean, that last one wasn't great. I don't know.
Here's the thing about Blair Witch, right? I mean, people already know. No, everybody knows what I'm about to say, which is that the reason it worked is because people hadn't seen it before, thought it might have been true.
That's really kind of the juice that it had, yeah.
Yeah, and like the thing about what's interesting to me about found footage is that we gave up on that immediately, right? Like there's no found footage that we... Found footage still like they go through the motions, but no one watches the found footage going like, ooh, I think this is true.
Yeah.
We all know.
No, it's more about using the medium as a way to make the story interesting.
Yep. It's also about making a movie on the cheap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of found footage movies that are like, why is this found footage? No reason. We just, like, remember The Pyramid, Tom? Remember that found footage movie that cut away to space? It did a
satellite
cutaway.
In space. It also kept doing reverse shots too.
Yes.
It's like who's holding this camera?
Right. And it's that thing. It's just a way to cheaply make stuff. It's that's all it is. And like sometimes it doesn't matter. Like The Office. It's like, wasn't The Office supposed to be like a workplace documentary?
Who cares?
Who cares? And so like I get it. We want to make cheap stuff, but that's all to say that if you're going to make a new Blair Witch, you need to make something like Deadstream. And what
Figure
I mean by that is...
Figure out how the medium works for you, yeah.
And modernize it in a unique way. Do something new with found footage. Because if Blair Witch was that milestone. So it's like if you're going to make another... It's kind of like making a new Avatar where it's like that better have really good CGI, right?
Yeah.
That's just my thought on it, because otherwise it's just like, well, we've made a million of these.
Yeah, it feels like remaking The Sixth Sense. Why would you do that? That was a specifically 90s moment we all had, and now we've had it, and we can never have it again.
Right, and a lot of people have done it already, right? Like, that twist. And it's kind of the same where it's like, if it's just people in the woods, lost, like, that was the thing, that remake, or that...
The 2016 one.
The 2016. I liked that one for what it was. It just felt like it was useless, right?
Yeah, it just ultimately wasn't very good. It had some good ideas in it. Introducing the drone camera was a cool idea, but it didn't really do anything with that. Cool. The time travel, the time looping stuff at the end was cool, but like overall it just really...
Yeah, it was like, again, what's the point of it? You know, what's the fucking point of it?
Right, and we'd already seen the time looping stuff a little bit in the earlier one.
Like even a small studio film, it's still a major studio film. Like, why are you making it like this? You need a reason now, because you do have a budget.
Yeah, there's a reason why when the original creators were, I'm guessing, very heavily compelled to make a sequel, they made Book of Shadows, an absolute nightmare of a movie that I kind of love.
It's incredible.
It's kind of Gremlins 2 to me. It's one of those where I think they were like, why would you want us to make a sequel? Like, that's a dumb thing to do, so let's just make this ridiculous other film.
Yeah, it's quasi-meta weirdness. Anyway, Blair Witch has a weird history.
It does. No, it really was a Gremlins 2, Book of Shadows, but this is part of, apparently, Blumhouse. It sounds like they have a lot of Lionsgate horror now, like those properties, and so this Bloody Disgusting article says that they're going to do a bunch of other like Lionsgate remakes or revivals. And so I couldn't help but to think about, like, what Lionsgate's films are they going to fucking bring back? You know, like...
Wrong Turn, but they already did that. American Psycho? I don't know.
Frailty 2. I want Frailty 2.
Frailty 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a funny era to be like, because we're going to start picking at those 2000 horrors.
Yeah.
And
it's
like, oof, those are not going to be fun.
Those are not good horror movies.
Actually... Sorry, I take this back. Because they're bad horror movies, we might as well do them again, right?
Might as well remake them, right, yeah.
Yeah,
Try it again.
Yeah. Yeah, one that's not like a major twist thing, like Blair Witch. Yeah,
yeah, do Darkness Falls again. I don't give a shit, you know?
I'm not attached to it, yeah.
Yeah, might as well.
Let's move on.
All right. Megalopolis. The news from this is that no one wants it.
Francis Ford Coppola's long in development, epic, dystopic sci-fi movie.
It's like $100 million movie filled with celebrities, made by Francis Ford Coppola,
and financed personally.
That he
was his own money.
Personally, and it really shows like what a terrible state the corporate executive world is, where they watched the movie and they said, it's too weird, we don't want it. Like, they're all like, we don't know how to sell it. And it's like, how about the fact that Coppola made it? Like, how about the fact that it's Coppola hasn't made a huge film in so long? Like, what the fuck is going on here? It's ridiculous.
Right.
Like,
and
surely you can sell a Coppola film?
Yeah. And it's
what,
like,
is your job?
Yeah.
They wanted to take, nobody wants to, because apparently according to this article, Coppola was looking for like 80 to 100 million in distribution costs for stuff for the film. And like ad buys and stuff, which is like, he spent his own money to make the film. It's full of like very famous people.
What more do you want?
It's got a very famous person's name. Like, he already made it. You guys didn't have to even pony up the budget. It's just the ads and distribution costs, which is still like $100 million, but like that's...
He's serving it to them on a platter.
A quarter of what they spent on that damn Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, he's serving it to them.
Yeah,
he's like,
got
I made
it. It's
the movie.
Finished.
It's got D.B. Sweeney in it. What more do you want?
I mean, but yeah, it has people like Adam Driver in it. Like, it has
actual stars. Dustin Hoffman in it.
Yeah.
And D.B. Sweeney.
Primarily D.B. Sweeney.
James Remar's in there. But it's just, it really shows to how shitty it's gotten, right? Like, I have this like picture of like, it's like the Hammond's son, like the executive, like from Jurassic Park. You know what I mean? Where it's like probably people who are like, I don't even know who Coppola is. Like, I'm imagining these young shitty executives just being like, whatever, old man. Like,
I picture old people who are predicting what they think young people will think.
I can see that.
It's a toss up.
Too.
It's a toss up. It could be anyone because
they don't
care about movies.
It's just weird because you look at Coppola.
That's the one
like,
passion that unites them is they don't give a fuck about art or making movies.
Because you'd think he'd be like, you know how much fucking money I've made you, you know? Like,
well, yeah, because at the very least, you would think some studio out there would be like, look, even if we don't recoup the 80 to 100 million, like, we've got lots and lots of money. Like, this film deserves to exist. Like, shouldn't
you?
Yeah.
Like, as much as we can rail on auteur worship. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're fine.
This is made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already made. Right.
Yeah.
It's just, there's some things you do just for the good of the brand.
Right.
That used to be a discussion. So just for the good of the studio or just because you believe in a project and want it to exist. It's like none of those are considerations.
That used to be a thing.
Well, this isn't going to be a big hit, so it doesn't justify 100. There's no Transformers in it. How are we going to make 100 million back? Right. I don't know,
that
man.
That used to be.
Maybe you shouldn't have gotten into movies to make money.
Right. That used to be the legacy of people like Robert Evans. Before he had a hit podcast, he was the producer of The Godfather.
Right.
And like his whole deal was sort of that where he like the money people, he was like, fuck you, we're making this. You know, it was a lot of that stuff where it's like it's more about like, whatever happened to that, you know, like we're making a classic.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to like, let's make a fucking classic. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's obviously I understand they can't like lose money on every movie they put out or else they'll be out of business, but it's like surely all that, like, what's the point of making nothing but tent poles if not to like finance movie projects like this?
Yeah, I think so. We'll couple this with the fact that apparently David Lynch is shopping around a family cartoon, and it's like Netflix was like, no thanks, and it's like, you said no to David Lynch's family cartoon? What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you say yes to everything else.
Hasn't directed a feature in 20 years.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a feature, an animated feature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and not it's a just TV like, series.
Okay. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, what is going on? I will say, the thing about auteur filmmakers, right, is they were nightmares. Coppola, when you think
famous
about Apocalypse...
Nightmare.
Yeah, you think about Apocalypse Now... from like the studio's perspective of like, I'm sorry, you're doing Acid in the Jungle. We gave you a lot of money. So like, I think you guys are right that it's probably old executives because there's probably some bitterness, right? Where they're like, you know what? Your days are over. We don't have to answer to you anymore. Like there's probably that feeling
of
like,
even if you're cynical and just, and that way, like this is made for you. There's a risk averseness that it feels like it's looming over this entire town that is scary.
Yeah.
You know what's a terrifyingly relevant movie now?
Wall Street?
No, Simone with Al Pacino. Sim 1. Not a good movie, but there's a sequence in Simone where it starts with Al Pacino as a famous director and he's dealing with Winona Ryder and she's not playing herself, but she's playing a nightmare actress. And the idea is like she's really good, but she's a nightmare. Or everybody loves her. So he creates a fake CGI artificial intelligence actress. That's the plot of the stupid movie Simone, which I can't stress enough is not a good movie. But there's a scene later where after Simone becomes such a hit, because he gets to control her, right? Where Winona Ryder shows back up and she's been really humbled and she's like, I've been taking a lot of acting lessons. I want a part in this thing, and she does like an amazing audition and Al Pacino just goes like, that was great, I think I'll have Simone do that. Like he just like walks away, he doesn't need her basically, and he just saw her performance and goes like, oh, I'll program Simone to do that thing with her eyes. That's what it feels like to me, where it's like Coppola and auteurs were like ruling the world for a while and the executives were very bitter about that because they couldn't control them and now they don't need them. And it's like now Coppola has to like go to the studios like, I paid for the film myself. And they're just like, that's cute.
I'm sure that's part of it. I'm sure it's also private equity that only cares about numbers go up.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, yeah, we could buy this. We could spend $100 million on this fucking Coppola film, or we could get a first-time director and bully him into making Space Jam 3. You know, like, and it's like that'll make us more money. So it's like, who gives a shit about him anymore? And it's a bummer because the people
Paramount just put out that series, The Offer, about the fucking making of The Godfather.
Right. And the reason why they can do this is because the audiences don't care anymore, right? Like, nobody's demanding Coppola's film. The kids aren't out there. Which is funny, because I bet if they did, like, a Dune release for this, it would probably do great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's good that we don't worship individuals like that. But it's awful that we are forced to worship corporations like that. It's worse.
Yeah, and I just think they're not giving the kids the chance. I don't think it's because kids are dumb or you look at how they reacted to Dune. It's like they'd probably fucking love this movie. Put it out there.
Yeah, no, they are dying for anything unique.
Yeah, and maybe it sucks. It's still like. Coppola.
There's a lot more tolerance for weird, winding stories. And let me how popular anime has gotten. Game of Thrones was the biggest thing in the world. It's some of this antiquated thinking where it's like, well, this just won't connect. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure it won't connect?
It seems like still remaking Willy Wonka, so I don't know what you think Gen Z likes or even millennials, but it's not that.
That movie did well, actually.
Did it?
Yeah, the Wonka movie did pretty
well. I'm sure it did well, because there are no options for kids, so their ideas are very skewed. This is why they belittle animation every time they give out that award at the Oscars. They make the pool so bad. Oh my god, yeah. I'm sorry. I saw a lot of clients today. I'm real mad.
Let's move on.
Yeah,
well,
let's do it.
I just want to say that I think the studio's rejecting this stuff. You could draw a straight line between this and people seeing one of the most basic shots in Joker and going like, this is amazing.
That's what I'm saying.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lack of exposure. They have created a terrible playing field for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, it's just, this is why people... Yeah. I don't know.
Well, this is the only thing that works. Why? Because it's the only thing we've done for 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. And people will occasionally turn out for that, but they're not going to remember it. They're not going to come back for the sequel that you're inevitably going to make. Over time, this isn't an effective strategy.
It also means people are ripe for the picking, meaning that, we've made a lot of artless blockbusters, so the moment you give them a little bit of art in a blockbuster, people are like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
That's why Dune is so good. People love it because it's this is a movie with artistic intent, you know?
Yeah. People are so desperate for that.
Yeah. Should we move on? Should we thank some more producers?
We should.
All right.
Producers.
Producers! Big thank you to No One Can Hear You Scream in Space McNulty.
Thank you.
Thank you to Norm from Cheers.
Norm.
Thank you to Pete for Pagel.
Thank you.
Thank you to Numenol Ultra Microscopic Silicol Volcano Coniosis Disestablishmentarianism Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to pre-order Jason Parge's new book so he can keep making big feats.
Thank you.
Thank you to Psychic Bigfoot.
The worst thank kind you of to, Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's true. He knows your fears. Thank you to Rev MD.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ricky Cilantro.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Rosemary's Baby from Eraserhead.
Thank you.
Thank you to Screaming Horse Pyramid.
Thank you.
Thank you to Sorry Cop, World's Most Laughable Centrist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Steven.
Thanks.
Thank you to the conveniently placed self-destruct button on the top of every baby's head.
Thanks, pal. All right, let me jump in here. Thank you to the ghost Dave Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Midnight Patron with Patrons at Midnight.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Oatmeal Savage.
Thank you.
Thank you to the 2B Terror Bunny says the strikes may be over, but egg David Zaslav for fun and profit.
Thank you.
Thank you to these 7Bs.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tiger Drawers Pratt Thompson. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tip Drizzle.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chucks.
Thank you.
Thank you to Vincent.
Thanks.
Thank you to Why Don't You Take a Flying Fuck at the Moon.
Thanks.
Thank you to Yorgos from the island of Crete.
Sure.
And thanks to your mom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad to know that you finally support me. I'll call you after this.
Aw.
I won't.
We bring people together.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
I'm afraid of her.
Dave, we've come to the end of things here.
What?
The last sands in the hourglass are filtering out.
Yep.
Sun's dipping sleepily below the horizon.
Yep.
So Rue I need
is
to
almost
ask
knocking
you
over the cat tree with his big bulbous body.
Yep.
His tumor-like body.
Yep.
It really is like two bowling balls in a sack. That's what Dave said last night, and it's, oh, fuck. It's exactly what I'm seeing here, that the tree is almost on the ground.
Yep. Dave, do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I have two.
Hell yes.
Two movies that
I said what?
Deserve. Nope.
No, it's fine.
Nope. All right,
the more
first
hype,
one's
the
coming
merrier.
Yeah. Well, one is a little farther off than the other. The first one's coming out May 3rd. On VOD, but it's called New Life. Now, I went on a little journey with this, which is that, like, watching this trailer, I didn't think much of it, at least when it started. It felt a little, like, cheesy to me. It's getting nothing but great reviews. And when you watch the movie, or keep watching the trailer, it sort of starts unfolding. It's about a woman who's on the run. She's going to Canada. She's being hunted down. She has clearly done some sort of murder, and this other woman is chasing after her, like the fugitive. And it's this older woman chasing after her. And then there is some implication, though, that the organization she works for is not just like the FBI. And in fact, she starts like putting on a hazmat suit, and then it starts getting really gnarly. And you get the impression that something's she's not just a fugitive. There's something going on with her. Something going on. It's called New Life. I assume because she's in search of a new life, but I assume there's like other.
I think she might be an alien.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like she is carrying a new life, or she is a new life form, something like that.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that most of the reviews are talking about this as an amazing character piece. Like between these two women, like this one woman who I guess the woman who's chasing her has a disease herself. And like there's like apparently it's just like this really meditative character piece that's very emotional that then ends in a really gnarly way, according to the reviews. And so like it's surprisingly like touching or character driven, at least. So what do you guys think of this?
Like I'm. Same journey that you went on. Like the trailer kind of seemed like, oh, another like former spy on the run type movie. Like we've seen a few of these, but then when the lady shows up, puts on a hazmat suit, it's like, what? So reading all the write-ups that you had included in the notes, keying me into the plot. Like, yeah, this I'm pretty interested in this movie.
Yeah. I need to know what more.
Yeah. It's one of those trailers where I'm glad I kept watching. Because I could have easily shut it off 30 seconds in.
Yeah, if you hadn't told me that this was a movie that deserved more hype, I probably would have turned off the trailer.
Yeah.
And before it got to the interesting part, yeah.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say about New Life other than, I don't know. Everybody check out the trailer and watch the whole thing. Because it looks legit. I don't know who made it. I think it might be a first-time director, I think.
Yeah, somebody named John Rossman.
Yeah, it's a Canadian director, I believe. A lot of Canadian stuff. But, yeah. Besides, like, it's good. It looks good. The second one is called Things Will Be Different. And we only have a clip, and the clip's not very compelling. But it is directed by the editor for Benson and Moorhead, who are two directors who made Spring. They made...
The Endless.
The Endless. They made Something in the Dirt.
Synchronic, I think, is the other.
Synchronic, yeah. They're like very good cult following, amazing directors. I love their work. And editors. So there's this thing about editors is that they tend to be the people who spend the most time with directors, and which is why like David Fincher was an editor. Like most directors start as editor, or not most, but a lot of them do. And so this is from their editor, so that alone makes me go like, well, I want to see. And it's very much from the reviews in the same vein as one of their movies.
Yeah,
which is
the clip you included felt like one of theirs.
Yeah, and they love this idea of big sci-fi ideas done on a budget. And in this case, it's about a magic house. And the house, when you set the clocks send you through time, and it's about a brother and sister bank robbers who use this house as a safe house, basically, and they go back in time because they've robbed like a bank, and so it's like, yeah, they can't catch me in the past. Now I'm in like the fucking 80s or whatever, and they have to be there for like 2 weeks. And when they go back, of course, things go wrong. The portal has been sabotaged. They have to, like, go find this other guy to, like, figure it out. And it becomes this whole fucking thing. That's all we know. That's all I care to know, honestly. What'd you guys think of this?
I thought it was cool.
You pro?
Yeah.
You pro it?
I'm pro this. I like the scene as them setting these two grandfather clocks kind of frantically in this intricate way. I thought it was a little, you said it wasn't that compelling, but I disagree. I was like, what?
I had flashbacks to trying to open my locker before class.
Oh yeah, because they're doing it like a combination.
Yeah, to spin it around. It's this complicated series. So yeah, I was sort of, just all I had known is that you said it was from Benson and Moorhead's editor, and this is the clip that was included. So I, just watching that clip without any of the description you just gave, I was on board.
Right, because the clip, you're like, the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, they're up to something.
In the closet, and then it ends, and you're like, huh? They changed the clocks, and I love the idea of a time traveling house.
Yeah.
Like that's a fun idea, and then I mean, it seems simple, it seems like basic, but it's like, yeah, how do you do the time travel? I don't know, make them change the clocks, and it's like, yeah, I guess if you were designing a magic time traveling house, that's how you would control it.
It would certainly be a thematic way to do it.
Yeah, but also a logical one, right? Like either that or the stove clock, I guess. But it's like, yeah, how do we make this magic house go to the past? I don't know, change the fucking clocks. Works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super curious about this. It's a lot of hats on hats in a good way, you know, where it's like a weirdness to me. Where it's like, it's a heist movie, but a time travel movie, and then like a portal, there's like dimensions. I don't know. It sounds really weird.
It sounds weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. I like weird. Yeah. I like weird.
Things will be different. And the new life. Two trailers. Look them up. If you like, the theme is weird indie sci-fi. If people didn't figure that out. So if you like it, look them up. That's
check,
it.
Check it out.
Yeah. We're done here.
Yeah, with that is a sewed. We've done it.
Woo.
Yeah. My bladder has been full for however long we've been doing this. 2 hours.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
I am.
Thank you. You
sorry
want to really, real slowly.
Yeah.
What, really slowly explain where people can reach you?
Can I keep apologizing for 10 more minutes?
Only if you do it very slowly.
Yeah.
You can find me on all my socials are at Hannah Michaels. That's HannaMichels. Don't ask me, ask my parents. I don't know why.
Well, how do we get a hold of your parents? To dox your parents. Dox your parents.
I want to, but that's been done already.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's been done. If I were the one to do it, I feel like it would be fun and light.
You probably shouldn't dox your parents.
I mean, they deserve it. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, to be clear.
Okay.
To be clear.
So you're asking people to dox your parents.
What you do is on you. That's what I'll say.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Dave, you do our plugs real quick.
Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. GAMEFULLOY unemployed. We watch movies with our patrons every Friday night. You could jump on there, watch movies with us. It's a lot of fun. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Star Trek Next Futurama, Spielboys. Check all of them out. Why don't you?
Yeah. We also have a store. Head over to GameFullyUnemployed.com. You can find a link to our Teespring store. We have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So check that out.
Check it out.
Slap your little time traveling peepers onto that.
Yeah.
You're heisting little peepers.
Someone
peepers.
Does always appreciate when I wear one of y'all's t-shirts out.
Oh, yeah. They're great t-shirts.
They're pretty excellent.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye,
I'm
t-shirt.
Sorry again.
R.I.P. OJ.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. Find him on Twitter at TheCorlew or go to shipwrecksailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Episode artwork is by Justin Brown. Available on Twitter as at Justin T. Brown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or Twitter at StarleneX. Goodbye now.